Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and welcome to another edition of our Life West Leadership Line. Today, we've got someone very, very special, someone near and dear to the chiropractic heart. We've got Del Bigtree coming to us from Del. Where are you at?
I'm in Austin, Texas right now. I've been living on an airplane mostly, but I'm actually home right now in my office.
Well, welcome home. That's a big thing that in what you're doing. I'm going to tell the audience, let's give you a little bit of history around Del. Most of you have heard of him. You know all the great work he's done in the health movement, but I'll kind of give you a little bit more in-depth on it. Number one, Del was born in New York City. Wow, the Big Apple, baby.
Yeah.
Came right out in the Apple. But he was raised in Boulder, Colorado, and we might get into it, in a very counterculture kind of an environment back when he was raised. Homeschooled, you know, bus schooled, I don't know what. But, you know, but before homeschooling was homeschooling, your mom was onto something. And then he became he went to Hollywood and literally worked his way into becoming a daytime producer, produced The Doctors, a few other shows, and which got him more into the health arena. And then he got into Vaxxed. I mean, if you saw the movie Vaxxed, if you hadn't, you need to see it. He was the executive producer of Vaxxed, and that kind of put him on a path. And I believe, you know, started speaking all over the country. I know The Wave was one of the first places you spoke. I brought you up. And it was a great story.
That was the first, like, sort of long form talk I really ever gave, at least in my professional life, maybe in high school or something. I had to do something like that, but it was a nerve wracking experience.
Well, you know what happened?
And it created a monster.
I'm going to tell the audience this. There was you and two other gals, another producer and someone else, and you were each supposed to have 10 minutes. And the first one got up and spoke for like, the first gal got up and spoke for maybe 90 seconds. And the second one was like 60. And here you are, you had like, you know, 28 and a half seconds that you had, and 28 and a half minutes. And you killed it. You killed it.
I remember like thinking like 30 minutes, like what can I say for 30 minutes? Now, of course, everyone laughs because everyone knows I can't give a 30 minute speech now to save my life. Like I'm always going over, like, you know, I prefer at least an hour. And if you'll give me 3 hours, I'll fill it.
I love it. I love it. Well, you knocked. I mean, I'm honored to say that we were your first, you know, because you just knocked it out of the park. And then from Vax and from all the talking, you started your first nonprofit, obviously. And then it just kept rolling. And, you know, your daytime, you know, you have a weekly webcast right now called The High Wire, which everyone should see. We'll put a link to it. Everybody should see it. And then, you know, you became the comms director, you know, communications director for RF Kennedy Jr.'s campaign.
Yeah.
And obviously, when he left the campaign to go into the Trump administration, and he's in a great position right now, you know, you are now CEO of MAHA, right? MAHA Action, Make America Healthy Again. And so you're doing so much amazing things for the health of this country, you know, and, you know, a lot of times people want to make a global change. Well, it's got to start somewhere. But, man, dude, that's a huge, huge thing. So thank you, number one. And number two, that wasn't a eulogy, was it?
No. It was joking, right? No.
Good. Right.
Beautiful. In fact, I was like, I think you just wrote my book.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Yep, I'll just do intro writing, something like that. But let's jump into it, man. How'd you even fall into this stuff? You know, here you were doing The Doctors and now you're totally in another place, you know. How'd you get here? You know, when you look back, like, what was it?
You know, I've actually been pondering that a lot. I was telling you, I'm starting to like think about if I was going to write a book, what would it be about? I finally got a week off after the campaign was all over, but just 2 weeks ago, I was in Mexico, just thinking, pondering it, doing some reading myself, and just thinking, you know, one thing I never did, or at least when my life started moving, I think when I was a kid, I wanted to be a film, I wanted to be Steven Spielberg, I had all these ideas. But once I really got in action, the more I stopped worrying about the what I was aiming, like how big or where I was going, and just started really focusing on the next right step. Like, what can I do today that forwards my goal, that forwards me in life? Things really started moving smoother. And that moment I remember was when I got involved with Vaxxed. There's so many miracles around getting involved with that film, meeting Dr. Andrew Wakefield, but I'll never forget being in the basement of Andy Wakefield's house. He'd been working on the film for about a year and a half. I, through an outrageous set of circumstances, wanted that story, met him, let me see what you got. And I watched the documentary, and he had 10,000 documents he brought in the room, said, "This is all how the fraud, it's all about a CDC whistleblower inside the CDC that said they were committing scientific fraud in the MMR autism study." And when I watched that film, it was like my whole life passed before my eyes. I had always felt, partly because I was raised, that I was here with a mission on this earth, that there was a job I had to do. There was something, and no matter how much success I won, an Emmy Award at the Doctor's Television Show, there was still a hole. There was something like, this is not it. I feel great. I'm successful. I have a house. I've got a family. But in that moment, it was what that film needed, where it was at. How dangerous it was going to be, what it was about. I wasn't vaccinated as a child myself. As you said, I was homeschooled. So I think I'd always had this agenda to normalize the way that I was, or mainstream my upbringing. I wanted my life and for people to be able to live that like that too. And it all came together in that moment in that film. And I knew my life is going to change right here. I knew it was going to destroy my television career. Because I was going to be messing with pharma in the biggest way possible. It turned out to be the case. Vax was such an explosion on the earth. But there was something about the faith that it took to take the step to do that, that it was all, I have said to people, I get credited with a lot of foresight and, like, Bobby all the way through. It really was the opposite. The moment I got involved with Vax, I lost my long-term vision of how I was going to fix things, where I was going to go. I just knew I was involved in something big, but I needed to be focused on just each next step and leave the rest in God's hands. And my life just started flowing, and the miracles and what happened from that moment on. It's just been a spectacular journey. I feel really incredibly blessed.
Dale, we call that, in our profession, probably others also, being inner directed. When all, because the outside can direct us, right? But all of a sudden, when we get that why, when our why gets connected, and sometimes you don't even know what it is, gets connected to something, and we're inner directed, that's where that success comes from, right? From the inside out. So that's what it sounds like happened. Because oftentimes I ask chiropractors, I don't say, how did you get into chiropractic? I say, how did chiropractic find you? And what I, if I would have asked you that question, how did this natural health movement or whatever you want to call it find you? You would have said exactly that, man. And it's like, there's nothing better, is there? Working from the inside and just seeing the next step and being able to go. And you've taken amazing steps. So let's move it a little bit. So you did Vax, and then man, your High Wire is just an incredible show. I mean, it is
Thank you.
really incredible. You got into that, right? And started then, having more of a platform to share your talk. Because listen, we all went through COVID, but there's some of us, including you, especially, you and Bobby Kennedy and other people, went through COVID being, blackballed, being cut off from media, being, all that kind of stuff. You went through it, bro. Like, talk about it for a minute.
It was incredible. The reason I started the High Wire was because I started the nonprofit Informed Consent Action Network. After being on tour with Vax for an entire year, we were driving around with a bus, said Vax on the side, and people were signing the names of their injured or children who had died, and just a tour of all this pain and sorrow and horror that was being gaslit. These parents were all alone. An ocean of injury is how I describe it, what we saw out there. But I wanted more answers. People were coming up after the screenings of the film, sold out everywhere we went for an entire year, 5 nights, 5 days, I mean 5 shows per day, every single day. People would say, "What about the other vaccines? This is just about MMR vaccine. Are those safe? Because MMR seems scary and vaxxed." And so I got a team of scientists together. I knew how to do the research. I knew how a medical talk show would work. But we started doing the research and we hired a legal team in Erin, Siri to sue the government. We had to sue the government because there was liability protection, couldn't get to the manufacturers. And as soon as we were like almost started winning right out of the gate. Erin was so brilliant, but I couldn't get any media. No media was going to pick it up. And so just another miracle, I was, asked to do a podcast. I did it and just, I said, oh my God, this is it. I should do a show where I present what we're finding through these lawsuits. Because I joke, if a lawsuit is, happens in a forest and no one's there to see it, does it even happen? And so high wire was to try and get our lawsuits out of the forest and out of the public eye. And of course, when COVID hit, by the time COVID hit, we had done the most thorough studies. We've been at it for, I mean, we started in 2017, so we were 3 years into an investigation on every, we'd read every trial of every vaccine. We were already reporting that none of them had been through a proper safety trial. We knew how the whole game was being rigged, how the regulatory agencies were working. And then when they said, Operation Warp Speed, I said to my team, this is it. This is the moment we've been waiting for. Now we're going to leave injuring children, which is what the vaccine program has been doing. But they would just say, oh, the parents were mistaken. Their child was always sick.
Right.
I said, this is going to change everything. This is going to be adults. This is going to be doctors. It's going to be lawyers that were taking a jog yesterday, were riding their bikes yesterday, were swimming yesterday, at a dinner party yesterday, and now they can't walk. Now they can't move. This is the moment we've been waiting for. And I knew it was going to happen. And we saw the science behind the mRNA technology was a disaster, at a disastrous 15 to 20 years of killing animals in animal trials. I was like, this is crazy. They're going to finally try to make the sausage right out in front of the public. So all the things that they said we were spreading misinformation on before about MMR vaccines and DTaP vaccines, I said they won't be able to do it. We are going to be the cameras that will be rolling and pointing out every cheat, every move, because we know how they're going to do it. So of course, that's what the high wire did. And we ended up, I think when we went into COVID, we're doing great. We're doing about 250,000 views a week or so of each episode. So 1 week, once a week show. By the end of COVID, we had 7 million per week tuning in. People thought we were like magicians, that we were like psychic somehow. How did we predict that the vaccine wasn't going to stop transmission? How do we know all of these things? It was only because we knew their playbook, and they just ran the playbook the way that it's the only way they know how, is to cheat it, to not do safety trials, to gaslight everybody that's being injured, and here we are.
Yeah, no, and it's so sad. I mean, you have all this information to get out, and yet people are dying. It's like it's one of the it's heart-wrenching, to know and not be able to do anything about it at that moment, just at that moment. But you're doing things now. But it's got to tug at you, man. It's like watching
Well,
kids.
I mean, like I've said, it's the world's most painful. I told you so. As people are like, I can't tell you how many people do you know, say my mom, my aunt, my sister, my brother died of cancer. It came out, like exploded out of nowhere. I know it was the COVID vaccine. I know that's what did it. I mean, I'm hearing that story everywhere. Forget about the myocarditis, pericarditis, all of these children dropping on football fields. And now we have advertisements about how children, don't forget, children can get heart attacks too. When did we ever see that ad before? I mean, they brought the new normal. They promised us a new normal. And boy, everyone that wasn't going to chiropractic or listening to their chiropractors, because you guys were some of the only ones out there brave enough to say, this isn't our jam, man. We don't inject ourselves with viruses and bacteria, and certainly not ones that are not properly tested.
That's right. And just across the country, chiropractic offices, people who know that, they know that there's a the body heals from within, and they know that, their offices just took off during COVID. They will tell you 2021 was their biggest year ever, and literally ever. And it was because people had an opportunity, the public, to go see someone who can actually talk to them. They knew innately that the public, because they were lied to for so long. I mean, think about this, man. We had at the college here, right? We had the Alameda County is probably the craziest county I've ever lived in when it comes to this kind of stuff. If they told you to wear six masks behind your head, people would do that, right? And we had to shut down for a bit, right? We didn't shut down, but we had people went home and worked, like, around that. And they're sitting at home and they're listening to CNN in one ear and something, MSNBC in the other. And they're literally, they took on so much fear and so much pain, And then you got to convince them that it's safe. It's okay to come outside. It was crazy. I've never seen a, I can only imagine. Back in World War II, when Germany did this with the Nazis and the Jews, to give false propaganda. And this was probably 30 times it on steroids, right? I mean, you're in media. I mean, what did you think about it as far as, I'm just talking about the game they did, Man, they won this game. Let's face it, what they got out there, even though it was false, it was lies, it was all that stuff, You're looking at it from the inside, knowing how all this stuff works, right? What were your thoughts?
Well, I mean, look, I think that did they win? I mean, I think that they, in some ways, maybe they won the battle, but they, it looks. I want to say that they're losing the war right now. I don't want to say it's over because what we need to talk about is how engaged we need to be right now. We've got a stay of execution. We almost lost everything when that bullet missed Donald Trump. We all dodged a bullet that day. We had, and I was, I don't mean to be political, but I was raised a Democrat, was a Democrat. I ran Bobby's campaign when he was a Democrat. Then we left because it was too corrupt. We went independent. Then, we were just recognizing that we were getting cheated on all sides. And of course, we made the incredible decision to join President Trump. But, I don't really get into how they want. I think we give they way too much power. If I was one message that I would say, we've really. They are injecting us with nanotechnology and robots, and they can control your brain and all of this stuff. And it's just these people are inept. They are playing God with so little information, such a lack of talent or ability or vision, and they're doing harm because because they've eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They really truly believe they see everything and they don't. But I assure you, this didn't turn out the way that they wanted. They did not want to see a 3% unvaccinating rate turn into a 50% of this country are now questioning everything the CDC does. I think the CDC is even down in the 30-something percent approval ratings. People are not vaccinating. They're distrusting the entire system. And by the way, if anyone says, oh, that's not true, it's the only reason Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is HHS secretary right now. They messed up. They effed up so bad in front of the public that the most feared, most dangerous voice in medical freedom, Robert Kennedy Jr., the last, literally the last person on earth they would ever want an HHS secretary is now there. I'm second behind him. I'm probably second to last, but the last person for sure they ever wanted was the world's greatest, environmental attorney, a Kennedy, with the knowledge base and the ability and the magnetic personality, never wanted him to be HHS secretary. So maybe they thought they won. And by the way, even the media, the manipulation of the media and the control of the media by the pharmaceutical industry, which I think most of the people watching this podcast right now will understand what that is. But even with all of that, what did we learn during this last election is that 24 hours a day, all we heard on every single news channel in America, except maybe Fox, like major, but maybe Fox and Newsmax, a couple little ones, anti-Trump, hated Trump, hate, 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 hate all day long, and hate, hate, hate Robert Kennedy Jr. And when those two guys stepped in, when Trump first won and then Bobby got confirmed, it was proof that mainstream media is dead, that new media and podcasts like this is where people are going for their information. There's no other explanation for it. There's no other way these guys are in that position except that we were tuning into a different voice. America was tuning into a different voice. And all the money, the $10 billion that President Biden promised to pour just into the advertising and media to force us all to believe we needed that vaccine. And in the end, Ron, they only got a 70% vaccine uptake. 30% of this country denied that vaccine under the greatest propaganda campaign we have ever suffered through. I mean, I wish it was 50%, I wish it was 100%. But 30% of this nation rejected all of the guilt and the pressure, and you're putting your neighbor at risk, and you better do what we say, or we're going to take away your job. That's impressive, Ron. It means that the American spirit, that rebellious spirit that made us think we could beat the greatest armada that ever existed in England, that even though we were outnumbered, that we would pick up our pitchforks and we would speak our truth, and we'd sign a Declaration of Independence and say, "You know where I live, come and find me. I would rather die standing than live on my knees." That came to life during COVID. And we have this moment right now because of it. We better cherish it. We better make something happen with it.
Right. And to make something happen. I mean, yeah, you're right. It's handed to us right now. So what are we going to do? Right. I mean, the question, because listen, I have never seen people more motivated in my life
Me
to
neither.
make a change. I've never seen people on both sides of the aisle more motivated to see a brighter future, right, for our country, right, and for actually for the world, right? I've never seen that like as it is right now. So, you've got MAHA action, right? And obviously it's Make America Healthy Again, but the truth is, we know if we make America healthy, we're going to make the world healthy, that bigger vision. But let's talk about MAHA because, it's a big piece. I mean, my gosh, you're standing up, you're not on your knees, and you've got a Declaration of Independence right now in your hands called MAHA, right? Tell me, talk to us about MAHA and what it's doing and where you see it going.
It's been an amazing ride. Of course, MAHA is born out of the moment that Bobby Kennedy was giving his speech, suspending his campaign as an independent candidate and joining President Trump. And in that, I think one of the most important speeches that will ever be delivered. And if you haven't seen it, please look it up. He lays out so clearly what was wrong with our country at that moment, and why he was making the most difficult decision he'd ever made in his life. But in it, he said, "President Trump has given me the opportunity to make America healthy again." And I remember hearing, I was in the room, of course, I was his director of communications. All the cameras in the world were there. They'd have ignored him up until that moment, but boy, were they excited to hear that he was going to be stepping down. And when he made that statement, I just thought, that is brilliant to take, make America great again. And he made it his own about health. It was like he built his own wing. I mean, I was all trying to wonder, like, is Bobby going to be wear a MAGA hat? Is he a MAGA guy? It kind of has a weird ring to it when you think of Bobby and the environmentalists and the things that he really cares about. And then in that moment, he just immediately gave himself his own space there that worked beautifully, softened, I think, in some ways, the message of MAGA. Of course, Trump embraced it, which was so exciting. And so immediately our job with MAHA, the team said, "Dale, you got to get out there. This campaign's now over." But ironically, the DNC, we had finally gotten on all 50 ballots. I mean, it was such a bittersweet moment. It was like literally the second after 2 years of working tirelessly, incredible, tens of thousands of volunteers out in the rain, the snow, the heat, gathering signatures to get Bobby on this dream of him being an independent candidate. The moment we're on all 50 ballots, the DNC starts suing to get us off the ballots. And there's, you know, and they're winning and we're appealing. And then as soon as he joins Donald Trump, the DNC stops and starts suing to keep him on the ballot because they knew if he was on the ballot, it'll hurt the vote for President Trump. So I got sent out with a team, including Bridget Rasmussen, who was the chief of staff for the campaign, and we brought the best of our media team from the campaign and went and started making commercials, all designed to inspire the Kennedy voters to go and move over to President Trump. If you want Kennedy, you need to vote Trump. And I think we were successful. We ran it in the battleground states. And I remember walking up, there were some diehards out there. I was seeing a lot of posts early on, like, "I'm voting for Kennedy. I can't stand, that Trump guy." But in the end, Bobby he barely got any votes at all. And I came up to him when the election was over and I said, "Bobby, congratulations. You just lost to Jill Stein." Of course, he'd have slaughtered her if he'd attempted to, but the whole goal was to get as few votes as possible. Mission accomplished. So I've been on a weird journey. I mean, that's a weird, weird
Seriously,
ride, you know?
they'll take us to that night. The night that your campaign, and Bobby and your team, just take us there when he made that choice, I'm sure he was building, but just what was it like?
It was rough. I mean, the moment the assassination attempt had happened, Bobby decided he needed to reach out to Trump immediately. He just felt like that was the sign that our nation was now heading into we were in a civil war. And you would meet people that would like secretly say, I if that bullet had just been 4 inches to the whatever, 2 inches, we'd have a better world. I mean, it was really sick and demented, and really bothered Bobby, who of course was running his campaign on Heal the Divide. So he called President Trump, asked if he was okay, asked about his kids especially. He's like, look, I obviously my uncle was assassinated, my father was assassinated. It's a lot of trauma around that in the family. How are your grandkids? So they had this beautiful sharing. You wish you were rolling cameras on moments like that and just capturing this historic moment where these two incredible power beings from very different worlds and perspectives, come together. And then President Trump said, "I'm glad you called. I'm glad we need to talk. We have the same enemy. And I'm tired of fighting you, Bobby. I really respect you. I really know that you can heal our children more than anything. I've heard you speak out against the Ukraine war. I don't want that war either. I think we're marching towards World War III. I don't think you can win." I mean, he was really honest with Bobby. "And you're not going to win, Bobby. This country, it's been a valiant attempt. Congratulations, 50 ballots. But this system's rigged against you, not designed for the independent. Come join me. Let's do this together." So we spent a month, Bobby'd be in, he'd be out. We were all in, we were out. So hard. Trump's a, interesting character. Can we trust it? Does he really mean it? Is it gonna, and of course, but that moment we had after about a month, we all met in Hyannisport at the Kennedy compound. And I still pinch myself every time I find myself there in a meeting. It's been a few rare moments because you're in a world where history took place and here it is taking place again. But we sat with, there was family members of Bobby's and everyone that was in the core team and many really brilliant minds that you would recognize, very famous people, a few of them zoomed in with their opinions, and the opinions were all over the map. But I had told you right before this podcast that there was I would say the pivotal moment really came when someone that was zooming in said, "Bobby, do you believe that the Ukraine war could descend into World War III? We're promising to put NATO in the Ukraine, which we swore we would never do. Putin's obviously not going to allow it. And we are putting American missiles are now firing into Russia. Russia, Putin's saying, I will retaliate. I will use nuclear weapons." I mean, we haven't seen a moment like that since, the Cuban Missile Crisis. And so, Bobby, I remember him just saying, "I do believe that Biden will and or the Democrats will lead us into World War III if we don't do something." And it kind of erased every other, yes, the children and all of that, but it took away what other choice is there? I mean, if that is actually on the table, which is what this individual said, "Bobby, if that is on the table, given who I know you are, then you're the only one in this room. You're maybe the only one in this country that can help ensure that Donald Trump gets elected, and we know he's going to stop that from happening." And it's a huge part of that conversation. And
And it was a selfless act. I mean,
it really, really was. And you see that in his speech. You can feel the emotion in Bobby as he is really sacrificing a lot of what I think he dreamt for his life, and and even more importantly, what his family had dreamt for him and his kids. He's like, "I'm putting all of that on the line because I really truly believe that this is the only option I have at this moment if we're going to save the children of the world."
So when that took place that night, the campaign, I mean, everyone just, from what it sounds like, everyone just got it, right? This is what.
Yeah, no, by the end of that day, it was virtually unanimous decision that this is the obvious way to go.
All right. So that day happened. He pulls out. You were the comms director, right? You're still with him. What's your path? Like, you know, are you like looking
Well,
up going, okay.
like I said, I got involved with making commercials, which in order to do that, I had to start a pack, like a super pack, this whole something. And I did so much learning over the last 2 years. I knew nothing about any packs and campaigns and campaign finance and rules. And everywhere you go, you could be breaking the law and going to jail, especially with the Democrats watching
Right.
every move, you know. But, you know, the moment, and I thought it was over when Trump won. It's like mission accomplished. So I am done. Like it's all great. And then I realized as the next morning set in, and we all went to Mar-a-Lago to meet with Howard Lutnick and start discussing who the cabinet member is going to be at HHS. I mean, I was pinching myself. Right? I was like, I just kept thinking, this is really happening. Something we are. Oh, we're really going to be picking, you know, cabinet members, or at least Bobby was. I was going to be, you know, giving my 2 cents. But I realized he hasn't been confirmed yet. And there's a whole new stress. And there's another couple months, really, of, you know, when is this hearing going to happen? We started producing materials. We knew it was super tight. We knew Senator Cassidy, it was going to probably go down party lines if we lost Cassidy. So then all the, you know, I started producing media in another weird media event. You didn't want to piss Cassidy off. You don't want to scare him. You don't want to make him hate Bobby. So you can't ridicule him. But you also need to get media out there to say to people, call Cassidy and tell him, you know, and then we get a call, stop calling Cassidy. He's getting annoyed. You know what I mean? Tell everybody to stop. So it was this wild, precarious moment. Obviously, he was confirmed. I was in the Oval Office. I watched Bobby's hand hit that Bible. And I remember thinking, this is even sweeter than if he'd have won as president, because this is his wheelhouse. It was the chiropractors that had made so, you know, and made VAXT happen. It was the chiropractors that had funded so much of the work that Children's Health Defense had done with Bobby. You guys had been such a big part of the team, but it was all about health. It was standing up for against that pharmaceutical option of everything is a drug, everything is you're dying. Pharma is the only way to stay alive. We needed a new thought system. As I said, the last guy in the world, and there he is. Taking that role. And so since that moment, we're just now with MAHA Action moving out of being like a political group trying to get Bobby there and now looking at what is the landscape of the nation. How do we best assist Robert Kennedy Jr., who's already passed like five rules and laws? He's getting, you know, heavy metals out of baby food. He's got a transparency chemical tool so you can look up any chemical in your food and read all about it. And he's bringing back the GRAS, pulling back this rule generally recognized as safe, which is how they've been putting chemicals into our food without safety testing. Well, it's generally recognized as safe. Well, it isn't anymore, not under Robert Kennedy Jr. You know, meanwhile, also firing 20,000 people that I know are standing in his way of doing the science around vaccines, the vaccinated versus unvaccinated study that we've all been waiting for, opening up those databases that have been hidden from the public. All of that's happening now. And but we know we see the pressure, you see the media, you see the measles outbreak, you see the fear around Bobby. So our job still, I'm still the media guy. So we're going to be producing media to put the narrative out there. People should be staying in tune with MAHA Action, all of our social media. We're going to keep producing. We're starting a podcast, the MAHA Report, no, the MAHA Podcast. We're starting a Substack. I'm going to have all the best writers of the space, chiropractors, the Dr. Robert Malones of the world, the Vani Haris, all writing, creating media so that we can keep going. And then at the same time, we've been going capital to capital, pushing these bills, like in West Virginia, watching the governor roll back and say, no more, you're not going to have sugary foods in our SNAP program, and outlawing you know, toxic chemicals in our food and food dyes, which is huge. We're trying to get that to happen in multiple states, because if you get three or four states to all do what West Virginia just did and say that chemical food dye that's toxic is not allowed here in our state, you then Kellogg's has to change.
Right.
They can't have a calico blanket out there of places they can sell and places they can't. These are national brands. So that's bringing them to the bargaining table. And Bobby's saying that's got them crying my office, keep up the work. So we're bringing pressure on legislation everywhere we go. If you go to mahaaction.com, we actually have a state, the United States, and you push on your state and it shows all of the bills that you should either be voting for or against. It gives you all of your representatives. We want you calling them. It matters. You know that when Cassidy was giving Bobby Kennedy the hard time in his confirmation hearing, that they were getting like 40,000 calls coming through there. I think it was like per hour, some insane, like record numbers. Then even Cassidy said, "I've never, like, clearly, Bobby, you have fans." You
A
know?
following. I love it. But here's the thing. Well, we're sitting here right now in April, and it's been 2 months and went roughly. And you look at all the traction that has taken place. I know it's been, listen, there's been thought behind this for years, especially from Bobby, but with your team and everybody else, it's been 2 months. Most people can't even get out of bed in 2 months in politics, right? God, just think about what could happen in 2 years,
It's
in
really,
4 years.
and look, chiropractic is such a key part of this. I see Maha right now as the biggest health brand in the world, certainly the biggest health brand in America. But I don't want to own it. I don't need to own it. Bobby doesn't want to own it. But what we want to do is we have a lens. We have America. 65% of Americans polled, I think it was in a CNN poll, one of those news stations, said that 65% of Americans have heard of Maha, of Make America Healthy Again, and the majority see it in a favorable light, which means we have actually bipartisan support. I want to take that lens. I want to point it at chiropractic. I want to point it at the nutritionist. I want to point it at every practitioner in this country that makes pharmaceutical your last choice, not your first choice. So we're looking, are we going to build a directory to help people find that thing? Are we going to start? I want to do videos about chiropractic, about homeopathy, about acupuncture, so that people know what these different modalities mean, that there's other options that are out there other than another pill on top of another pill on top of another pill. There's so much that Maha can do, but what the number one thing we want to do is celebrate all of the great people that are out there already doing it. I don't need to reinvent the wheel. I'm not a medical expert. I'm not a chiropractor, but let me tell you how great chiropractors are. Let me tell you, let me make a video so that you see why you might want to try this out. That's what we want to do. We want to just take this moment and just redirect the attention that's looking at Bobby and looking at Dr. Oz and Marty Makary and saying, how do I assimilate this? How do I actually get on a path to wellness living, to proactive life, not retroactively trying to get back from your disease that's now taken over your life. How do we actively stay healthy? So it's just a huge mission. We're just getting off the blocks. There's a million things I want to do, trying to figure out which ones we start with. But right now, we've got a website. You can track the bills that are around you. We're getting into legislation. We're putting out a lot of great videos to just inspire people for this incredible moment.
Yeah. And when you look at what you're doing, I mean, let's face it, health and politics is an oxymoron, right? I mean, they just don't mix, right? But who runs it is really what it's about. And the changes, man, if we look back in 30 years, if things, are moving in this direction, and we look back in 30 years, brother, this was stand up. This was, I'm not getting on my knees. We are standing up. We have the answer, and we have some of the answers, and the other answers, we are open to finding out the truth, and let's make this happen. I mean, it is historic. Any way you look at it, it is historic, because the bottom line is, truth customers will rise again, and this is truth. I mean, this is truth. Maybe it's rising, I don't know, but this is truth, man. And I'm so blessed, man. I mean, 44 years in chiropractic right now for me, and I've been, I show up and I fight the fight every day, but this is so refreshing. It's so beautiful, brother. And it takes strong people to withstand the attacks, the bows, the rocks and the arrows that were thrown at you, right? That were shot at you, at your team, at everybody else. But those who, what doesn't, obviously what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Where are we going? So what's next?
We all have a lot of work to do. We've got to enshrine that First Amendment right to free speech, which that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden promised us they were going to take away, that they were going to get rid of misinformation. Ironically, they're the ones spreading the misinformation. So that shows you how terrifying and how close we're. You just look around the world right now. The UK is losing free speech. Europe is losing free speech. They're arresting people for tweets about, a riot that happened outside of their apartment building. It's really crazy. Just look at the rest of the world and know that is what the globalists want for America. We got to stop the infighting, I would say, right now. We've got to make sure that we all stay focused. It's really easy because we've gotten so used to not trusting. And, I feel like in some ways with the high wire, I've instilled critical thinking, but now we're critical of ourselves. We're critical of each other. We're critical of Bobby. We just got to say, hey, I mean, I just want people to say, please count the blessings right now. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not all going to be miraculous. Bobby's up to his eyeballs in alligators right now. But let's celebrate each win. Let's let them know. Let's let them hear us roar every time we have a win so they don't forget how powerful we are, how big we are. We've got to just keep pushing this thing along. We've got to have faith right now like we've never had before. And that means faith for ourselves. We know there's, I know your inner voice right now is telling you what you need to do to be a part of this movement, what you need to do to, to take that next right step. But we're so afraid. We're so afraid what our friends might think, what our job might think. And maybe Dell's already got it covered. I assure you, I don't. I assure you, there's not enough Dell Biggs, there's not enough Robert Kennedy Jr.'s. We need you. I need you to be, we all need to take this moment, if we are healthy, then reach down and be the best of ourselves that we can be right now. That is what I think Trump is calling for. It's what Elon Musk, it's why Tulsi Gabbard and Cash Patel and Robert Kennedy Jr., they're literally putting their lives on the line. There is so much pressure right now. They believe in a dream that our founding fathers gave us, that we are the light on the hill, that we are the beacon of light and hope. If I just want to say to everyone out there, if you're having a day where you doubt, just know, like, sit down, pray, and recognize how important you are. It's the power of the people that happens right now, and we all have to do our part to make this country great again. And we're going to do that by making America healthy again.
That's right.
When we achieve that, you're right, it's going down in the history books. We're going down. This generation is going down in the history books. This will be a revolutionary moment where we won back our freedom. We almost lost it. We almost gave it up. And then once we've won it, once we've won it, once we've enshrined it, then we have to start pushing back because we have lost the world. The world is now under an authoritarian globalist, regime. But let's hold down America and start showing what freedom looks like, what health looks like, what vitality looks like. All of that is in our hands right now. It's a brilliant, brilliant moment to be alive.
It is. It really is. And man, I thank you. It takes courageous people to stand up to the to what could take place and what does take place, which we as a as the outside don't really know, But thank you, Dell, because you know what? It just takes people like yourself to stand up, and we've been screaming it for years. And you have a platform. I can scream it from my window. But you're like screaming it out, in center stage, and where there's a lot more. You're not being covered by anything. It is amazing, and so thanks, man, for all that you're doing. And something kept resonating with me when you were just talking about, the healing of it's what you said earlier too, heal the divide. I mean, there we will never have health in our country if we don't come together. I feel like Denzel Washington on the field of, we took him to Gettysburg and remember the Titans, we have got to come together. And as a country, as individuals, we have got to come together and listen to the science, listen to the truth, and drop the names and drop the left, right, the up, down, and just, start seeing who we are and really embracing that. And I believe that this movement will do that. I do. I believe that the truth, when it scientifically comes out, you can't deny it. And they've been lied to, like you said, we've been lied to for so long, man. Like, we don't even know what the truth is if it's looking us in the eyes. And I believe this in my heart of hearts, that MAHA, that MAGA, that every is going to make that happen where the truth just gets said time and time again. So, dude, really, I mean, we're doing something so much bigger, Dell, than just a profession, than just the state, than just, this is the world we're talking about, man. And I really appreciate you being out front. So thank you.
I appreciate you, Ron. And, as I reflect back, what happens if you don't go with that instinct that says, hey, let me walk up to that Del Batre guy and see if he wants to do 30 minutes on the stage?
Hey, what our audience needs to know, dude. Well, Val, what
I
our audience needs to know is you're coming home. You're
am.
coming back to the wave in August.
I can't wait to be there.
I
It's
know, I know. And you said
a
that to me.
true
You're like, hey, you know,
homecoming.
the first thing I ever did was speak at the wave. And I remember, and I
Yeah.
was like, I didn't know it was your first time because I,
Yeah.
no way I
No,
would
it went
ever
well.
know.
I walked off the stage saying, "Ooh, I think I can do this. This feels pretty good." So it fit like a glove. So
Well,
I
I'm
can't wait to be
excited. We're
back
excited to
there.
have you come home. We're excited to get you back on the stage at the Wave. And more than anything, you know, for all of us listening, you know, we support Maha. You know, we
Thank you.
support, it's not Maha. We support the health of this world, health of our country, right? The health of our neighbors. And what is a better vehicle to put it through than Maha, right? And make that happen. So thank you, my man.
Absolutely.
We've hit that witching hour.
All right.
Anything last words you want to say?
I just want to say, look, check out mahaaction.com. Take a look at the Substack, the Maha Report. That's going to be coming out probably starting next week or so. Definitely check out the Maha podcast. I have a brilliant interview that I did with the CDC director that should have had the job, Dave Weldon. Boy, what a dive that was. Why didn't he get it? What are they really afraid of? What is Robert Kennedy Jr. up against? I've wanted to do like a long format show like that, so that's very exciting. The High Wire is still rocking. Informed Consent Action Network, my no other nonprofit, is just cranking out, winning lawsuits. So I'm a busy guy, loving every minute.
Well, listen, stay healthy, number one.
Okay, will
Like,
do.
we can't do anything without you not being healthy, number one, you know, and your family and everything else. And thanks again, man. All you're doing, it's beautiful. And to our audience, thank you. You know, thanks for tuning in week in and week out. You know, this is the LifeWest Leadership Line. Every other week we drop the Life by LifeWest. And you know, you guys just send this out, man. People have got to hear this message because it's just the tip. I mean, this is literally, you know, it's just the tip of the iceberg, but at the tip of the iceberg is usually the tip of the spear. And this is going to make a huge difference in the health and welfare of our country and each individual that lives in it. So I love and appreciate all that you do. From Dell and myself, we'll bid you adieu, and we'll see you at the next LifeWest Leadership Line. And I keep loving those people around you and keep remembering and sharing the message that people are much more powerful than they were ever led to believe. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you
Thank you for
for joining
joining
us
us today,
today,
and
and
for
for the
the
love,
love,
commitment,
commitment,
and
and passion
passion
you
you
emanate
emanate every
every
day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.